Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 9th of January, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul looked at why baptism, and the reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, and chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
There are just a couple of announcements for this morning. Just to remind you that we're following these services are being, they're being recorded and they will be posted later on YouTube. As some of our folk follow for their own sense of protection COVID guidelines. And those same COVID guidelines means that we want to encourage you, where possible, to wear your face covering while you're here in church. And if you're able to do a lateral flow before you come, for the safety of us all, those are the latest kind of bits of advice we have received, and we pass them on to you. Secondly, to say Joyce Steadman's funeral on Tuesday the 18th, there's a live link. If you want to watch it from home, can you ask me or the office for the live link and we'll send it to you. But Mark is going to live stream it here from the church. So if you can't get to can't do that yourself, or you want to be here among others, then from church will be open from about sort of 10:40-ish onwards on Tuesday the 18th, and Joyce's funeral will be live streamed from here on that day. And there are two bits of family news. First of all, I want to tell you, when I caught COVID on Christmas Day, when I tested positive on Christmas Day, my heart broke. And it broke not because I then had to spend 10 days away from Lorraine, although that was a pain, Lorraine, but because I couldn't come and worship with you. And so in my diary on that day went a note, and that day said, I'm free. I'm free of isolation, and I no longer have to be isolated. And I want to tell you, the amount of love and prayers and cards and best wishes and things left on the doorstep that I and Lorraine got between Christmas Day and that day was amazing. And so from our heart to your heart, thank you. If you do see Lorraine, she's still on crutches. Yes, it's true to say that 2 hours after I tested positive, she fell and we thought she'd broken her ankle. What a Christmas Day. Lastly, but not leastly, one of our number was 100 years old this week. Phil Impey was 100. And I'm not sure if this will work, but it'll be lovely because we're going to try and send her the link for her to be able to watch this later on YouTube. So I am going to invite you to sing happy birthday to someone that's not here. Will you sing with me for Phil's 100th birthday last Thursday? Ready? Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Phil. Happy birthday to you.
Bless you, friends. This morning we're going to look at the subject, why baptism. You'll discover why we're looking at why baptism in a while. But before we worship, we're going to use a prayer that is found in a gathering book called Gathering for Worship. It's often used by Baptist ministers at that baptismal service. It's a prayer that asks God by his Spirit to be with us. I invite you to join me now. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was baptized in the River Jordan and passed through the deep waters of death. We praise you that you raised him to life and exhorted him. Send the Holy Spirit today, we pray, on us as we gather, that his baptism, that our baptisms, may be for your servants a union with Christ in his death and his resurrection. So that as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, we also might be raised to newness of life. Pour out your Spirit on each one of us anoint us for service, speak into our hearts and change our lives, we pray, that we may grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
One thing about worship is it is inclusive. Everybody's welcome here. No matter who you are, where you come from, no matter what you've been doing this week, you are welcome. And this song we're going to sing first, some of you may not know it, so we'll sing the first verse twice so that you get the hang of it. It's a song that reminds us that all of us, come, people of the risen King, all of us, come, let's worship and praise Him. We're going into a time of prayer now, and prayers of intercession are a very important part of any act of worship. You know, to bring the needs of the world to the throne room of grace. And Paul asked me this morning just to perhaps remember one or two situations in the world that have gone off the map recently in terms of disasters and issues that need our prayers. So I'm going to pray now for a few minutes for the country of Haiti and for Chad. Haiti, of course, had a terrible hurricane in 2016. And then last year, on the 14th of August, they had a deadly earthquake also. 2,000 people were killed. Sadly, lost their lives, and various schools and homes and some of the basic infrastructure was quite badly destroyed. So let us pray. Father, we lift the country of Haiti to you, and a country, Lord, that seems to have had more than its fair share of natural disasters over the decades since its independence. Lord, we lift the government to you. We lift to you Ariel Henry, the Prime Minister who had an attempted assassination on his life only last Saturday after he was leaving church. Lord, we pray against the bandits and the looters and those who create unrest in this country. We pray against them. And Lord, ask that you will bring a deeper and more lasting peace and stability to this country that's been torn apart by winds and natural disasters. Lord, we especially lift to you the work of Tier Fund, who have quite a number of personnel working in Haiti. Lord, working with the disaster resilience group, training, preparing for creating contingency plans, economic empowerment for local communities. And Lord, we pray for your provision in a country that is very low in resources. We pray for successful food production to feed its hungry population. And we pray that you will enhance the skills of the volunteers and the aid agencies, such as Tier Fund, working in Haiti at this time. Father, these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And moving to Chad, the Baptist Missionary Society has personnel in Chad, Mark and Andrea Hotchkin. They are doctors working in the Guinbatu Hospital. Lord, we want to pray for the country of Chad that is very rarely mentioned in the news these days. But Lord, a country whose population is often suffering from neglected or unreported tropical diseases such as dengue and leprosy, onchocerciasis, which is river blindness, leishmaniasis, which is another disease spread by mosquitoes. Lord, we recognise there's very little money available to combat these common diseases in Chad that affect the lives of so many thousands. And yet could be easy diseases to eradicate or to certainly reduce significantly. And we pray especially for BMS personnel, Mark and Andrea, in their work as doctors in the fight against these so-called orphan diseases, diseases that have been neglected. And we pray for the further stability of Chad and its government. Lord, we recognise that when people are desperate, people do desperate things to survive. So we ask, Lord, this morning, for your power, for your blessing, for your enrichment of this land, and for people to be moved by your Holy Spirit to turn to you. Lord, that the strongholds that have held this country back will come tumbling down. Lord, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen. And turning to ourselves.
Mm. Yes, Lord Jesus, we just ask as well that if there is any sick amongst us, you say to bring them to you. And I just ask now that as we're all sitting here, if any of you is sick, I don't know if you want to raise your hand so I can see. Everybody's got their eyes closed so that we can see at the front so we can pray. And if anybody knows of anybody sick that is in their family or friends and that you'd like us to pray for them now, if you'd just like to call their name out. Right, you haven't got to pray for them. We'll pray for them here. But if you call their names out, then we can pray. If anyone is sick amongst you, bring them to Jesus. Lord, for each name that's been called out this morning, and for anybody that is sick here or doesn't feel well this morning, place your hand on the part of your body that's not well. I'm doing the same because my knees are playing me up again. So place your hand on a part of your body or on your mind if you feel depressed. Place your hand on it, and we're going to pray this morning. Father God, we thank you that we haven't got to be eloquent in our prayers. We haven't got to say great and long-winded prayers. But, Father, for each name that has been brought to you this morning, Father God, we know that you are able to heal, you are able to touch, and you are able to release from pain. And we just bring each of these names to you now, Lord, and ask for your Holy Spirit to touch them right where they are now.
Yes.
And bring healing, Lord, into their bodies. And pray for healing, Lord, into their minds. And for each person here, Father, that is sick, has laid their own hand on their part of the body, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you will bring healing, Lord, into that part of the body. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Turn to the Word of God now and listen to God's Word from Matthew's Gospel. And Jan is going to read some verses from Matthew chapter 3. And then after that, I'm hoping that we're going to have a video clip. Are we set for that, Paul? Of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 19.
This is Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill the righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Then Jesus came to them and said,
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
So friends, we come to look at God's word. And before we do that, I want to pray. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are with us here in this moment. And I pray that by the grace of God, and in the love and the power of the Holy Spirit, we may hear from you. That, Lord, you may touch our lives, challenge us and change us, and move us on, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, hopefully, and I say hopefully, there's a presentation going to happen. It should be on there. It's probably in the middle of the screen. It's called Why Baptism? And it's exactly the question we're going to ask today. Why baptism? It's a funny question to ask sometimes, isn't it, when we think, well, actually, I was baptized X number of years ago. Well, yes, that can be true, but sometimes it's good that we remind ourselves of exactly what is going on. Now, I suspect all of you know as parents a lesson I learned about 30-odd years ago. When my 5-year-old son, who was extremely inquisitive, would constantly ask the question, why? Now, this isn't moving on, so apologies about that, I don't know why, but I'm going to have to ask Simon if we move it on for me. But that question, why, it's an ingenious question, isn't it? Why? And even when I tried to give him the answer and I thought I'd explained, he'd say, why? Why is the sky blue, Dad? Why are there clouds? Why? And then, why can't I go outside? You heard that one? Why do I have to be nice to my brother and sister? Why is it always me you pick on? Why? Constant questions. It might just be me, and if it is, this, you are my therapy group this morning. I hope that's okay. But I actually got to the stage where I just wanted to go, just because it is. Been at that point? Chris, just give me 5 minutes. Or the reason I've got a lack of hair is because I've torn it out. You know that sort of moment when you just want to... But it's also true, isn't it, that adults ask why questions as well. It's not that it stops when we become a grown-up. We ask those questions. Okay, so according to Google, other search engines are available. According to Google, these are some of the why questions that adults ask, right? Why are there flotation devices under plane seats instead of parachutes? Interesting question. I actually did ask my son that. My son's a pilot. And I asked him that, and he says, oh, because by the time we couldn't get you out of the plane quick enough, we'd be crashed and down. Lovely answer, isn't it, really? But why? This is another question that evidently adults ask. If a cow laughed, would milk come out of her nose? You've got me there as to why. Why do noses run and feet smell? Or this one. Why is it that doctors call what they do practice? Those are adult why questions. And today we're going to start a 4-week sermon series that's going to simply ask the question, why? They're why questions that have been posed to me and to Richard over the past couple of months by people here. Your why questions, both those new to MBC and those who've been here for many years, who are exploring what it means to be part of a church family. So friends, I genuinely believe that by the grace of God, more people than have spoken to me and Richard have pondered some of these questions. And if over the next 4 weeks you think, well, I knew that all, you're in a very blessed place. Very blessed indeed. Because as we begin to look forward to a new year and to what our amazing Lord will do among us, it's surely right that we acknowledge all that he's done in 2021. And in doing so, acknowledge there are folk here worshipping among us that wouldn't have been here this time last year. Folk new to us. That week by week by week by week, God is adding. And we need to acknowledge that God's on the march here. Now, as I say, if you've been here for many years, then I simply want to ask you to do something. Because I genuinely believe that the Lord will challenge us all. Do you know, in the simplest things, the Lord can challenge us. I once went, years ago, to a school assembly done by the rector of the town we, I and Lorraine lived in. And I'd heard her speak many times on this subject. So I thought, oh, that's all right, I'll listen to her. And then the youngsters will have a great time with what I've got to share. As she spoke, the simple words of that which she was speaking to a child about love struck my heart. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the simplest things, to simply be reminded. And so these next 4 weeks we're going to think of baptism and membership and mission and prayer. And we're going to take up a challenge. Thank you for the story you shared, Steve. That's a challenge to this church. Not, oh, isn't that good for over there? But Lord, what of that like do you want to do here? Because the Lord has something for this place, this town. And he wants you and I involved. You and I committed. You and I to take up a challenge. And Mark was absolutely right when he said last week that I long to be here. He spoke on that passage from Proverbs 3. Those two verses have screamed, literally screamed at me in the past couple of 3 months. They're on the screen now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do we genuinely think that the church that Steve shared about when God said to them, go buy a warehouse, went, oh, whoopee, isn't that good? Did they understand it fully? Or did they have to lean into God and trust him? Well, that's what he wants us to do this year. And we'll return to it again and again and again and again. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I know all about baptism, I've got that now one nailed on, now's a really early chance for you to practice those verses. And I'm going to encourage you not to lean on your own understanding, but to lean into the Lord's. And what that means in practical terms is this. I want to invite you, if you think you've heard all of this before, that's fine. But can you do me a favour? Can you pray? Can you pray right here, right now, for brothers and sisters in this church congregation that need to hear? Lean not on your own understanding, but by the grace of God, lean into his and his ways. So if you close your eyes this morning, I'm going to assume you're praying and not asleep. There again, if you think this is all about calling those who haven't been baptized to come to the point of baptism, you missed the point of something about baptism, one of its central themes. So here we go then. I pray, Lord, that it would be not my words that would speak, but the words of the Holy Spirit that will, by the grace of God, touch each individual's heart, move their spirit, prompt their worship, give them grace-filled peace in their hearts, and fuel their response to you. Amen. Why baptism? Because Jesus was baptized. And we could end the whole sermon there. Okay, I can hear underneath the masks, hallelujah. We could actually. Because many of us try to live out that reality, don't we, in our lives. Constantly asking ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? Well, when Jesus was faced with the waters of baptism, guess what he did? He went through them. What would Jesus do? He would go through, did go through those waters. And in doing so, he calls us to follow him. There's no kind of grand theological debate. He came before John, humbled himself, and went through the waters of baptism. He didn't gather people around him. He didn't ask their opinion. He didn't ring the pastor and ask, am I ready? Did you notice that? I need to ask you, am I ready? If God is prompting you for baptism, you're ready. He just did it. In one sense, we could say, could we not? Baptism is all about humility. Reason number one as to why be baptized, well, Jesus did it. Now, there's plenty of symbolism here in baptism and much to be said about carrying on studying the subject even when we're baptized, because there's a deep reality, a deep study that we could do that enriches our understanding, develops our ministry. But we don't have time here this morning to explore all the avenues that we could do. So let's stick to the main theme. Why baptism? Well, because Jesus was baptized, but more than that, he taught that we should be baptized as well. John chapter 4, Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. 2 points there. The first is that baptism, it seems to be, is for all. And the second is that his disciples were doing the baptizing. And it's hard to baptize unless you've been baptized. I've heard some folks say to me, well, that may be well and good for the disciples, but I'm not ready. I'm not Christian enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not... You put your own ending on. But this event happens, look at the top, John chapter 4, early on in Jesus' ministry. Here's a group of roughnecks. They're going to baptize, not Jesus. Surely Jesus would want to do it himself, wouldn't he? Since he was the perfect one. Not a bit of it. Here was a group of people, couldn't even call themselves Christian, who were just baptized themselves, who were ministering to others, who included Peter. Who, frankly, Jesus would go on in a while and later say, "Get thou behind me, Satan," to, and would deny him 3 times. A man probably prepared the least of all for baptism, and not only is he baptizes others. He, frankly, with every respect to Richard and to me and to anyone that's a minister here, and there are others here, bless you for your service in this church, but let me say to you, he hadn't even been to college for 3 years. What's going on? Hold on a minute. This extraordinary behaviour. But there's a truth here for us. If we wait until we're ready for baptism, or we're good enough to be baptised, or until we're Christian enough, then we will wait forever. And friends, that simply will not do, because you and I are called to put the Great Commission we find in Matthew 28 into practice. That Great Commission, go, make disciples, baptize, teach, to sum it up in a few words. Why do so many people go through the waters of baptism and then drop away from seeking the Lord further? I'd respectfully suggest, because this is about me as much as you, that that's because the church that bears that task, specifically for teaching, has been so wrapped up in itself that it's forgotten Jesus' commandment. If we just but dared step out of internal crud and looked at external fight, what a difference it would make. My prayer for this place, you want to know what I was praying? It was an amazing thing. It's the first time I've missed 3 church services in my life in a row. Well, since I became a Christian, that I can remember. And that's probably not true, but that's how it felt. So while you were meeting, I was praying, and my prayer for this place boils down to this. This is what 10 days worth of isolation and prayer boils down to. You ready? Father, I pray that this place may glorify you, that we will go into our community, and that we will in your name make disciples, that we see baptized, and that we teach together, and that as we teach them, they too would go into the community and make disciples and baptize and teach. And that those disciples that they make may go into the community and make disciples and baptize and teach. And that all of that, Lord, would be for your honor and your glory, your power and your dominion, world without end. Remove all of me from this and make it all about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My prayer time boiled down. You can decide if it's the prayer of this church or not. Why baptism? Because if we take that commandment of Jesus seriously, baptism doesn't become about doing it because I say it's a good thing to do, or doing it because you feel under some sort of emotional pressure to do it, but rather doing it because it's Jesus Christ who calls you to a free response of personal faith. You could write a wonderful essay on baptism, And every Baptist minister probably has. And I pondered some of the points in that essay, which is one of my better ones, just to let you know. I was quite chuffed with it, really. Do I tell them that this is about salvation? Or do I tell them that there's a sense of discipleship here? Or do I tell them there's a sense of cleansing from sins? Or do I tell them there's a sense of death? Or, you get the drift. I choose, because I think the Lord wants me to say this, to say that it's not about the clever words that the pastor uses. Yes, there's deep meaning here, deep theology, and much doctrine. But the response to baptism is all about your response to your Saviour, not my eloquent words. If you were christened as a child, it's not about saying full immersion's the only way, and it's not about making you feel guilty or somehow sort of second class to those who haven't been through the waters of baptism. Neither is it rubbing the ego of those who have been baptized fully and say that somehow we're superior. It's all about saying, follow the calling of your Saviour. That's what baptism is all about. It was an amazingly bitter day. In reality, we'd had to use, there's only one place in the church I and Lorraine were here, pastoring at before we were here, to baptise. It was the old 17th century church. And if I tell you that 6 years ago, the heating was condemned. It was the Sunday before Christmas, and there was snow on the ground. And that was the Sunday we did a baptismal service. Oh, good. This is going to be chilly. It was, I promise, really quite chilly. At that service, a young lady who, a month or two before, had given her life to Jesus, had been freed from an addiction of cocaine, stood up in the middle of the service and said, I have no clothes to change into, no reason to do this, but I want to be baptized. It was the moment the Lord called and she followed. It was also that same morning that before she left our home, Lorraine said to me, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God's asked me to take an extra set of clothes. Well, we know why. So she changed into Lorraine's clothes that she'd bought, and she was a different size to Lorraine, but we made them fit. It was okay, it was good, and it was decent, and she was baptized that day, there and then. Not because I'd made her feel guilty, not because my words had done anything, but because her Saviour had called. So often, don't we, when we start to think about baptism, we think about our emotions, our thought process. I'm not ready for that. I need to be perfect. I've got to get my head around what it means. I have to understand it, what I'm responding to. We tell ourselves we better be perfectly sure, because otherwise Jesus won't be cross, will be cross with us, won't he? For not waiting for a special time, whatever that is. Just to let you know, the special time is when he says come. And that's all there is to it. Why say baptism? Because ultimately it boils down to obedience. Isn't that why Jesus himself was baptized? Matthew 3:13 says this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus consented. Amazing. God following reality. So there's a simple call here this morning, and it is this. We're going to finish our time this morning by responding. But in reality, the simple call is this. Come to the waters of baptism be obedient to him and live your life fully in the vows that you made. For those of you that have been baptized, in a moment you're going to be able to respond with me, because I'm going to read the baptismal vows we would ordinarily make in this church as your response. Why be baptized? Because Jesus did it. Does it have to be complicated? The shortest testimony I've ever heard in a baptism was my own. But literally, after 17 years of being a local preacher, I went, "You're calling me into the waters of baptism, Lord." And I was baptized, and I stood up and went like this: "There's only one reason I'm coming forward for baptism. Jesus says I should do it. I hope that's good enough." That was my testimony. And I was baptized. When he calls, his timing is perfect. And for some of you, I urge you to respond to his timing and his calling. Let's pray together. This is a prayer I invite you to respond to your Lord with. It's a prayer that is used often as we come to those moments of baptism. Loving God, we praise you. Your love and grace are more than we can imagine. For your word of flesh, for your word of love made flesh in Jesus Christ. For his birth in Bethlehem, share in our life. For his baptism in the Jordan, share in our way. We thank you. For his proclaiming of your rule in word and action. For his death on the cross. And for his raising him to life again. We praise you. You have called us to follow Jesus. And by your grace, you meet us in the waters of baptism. This morning, Lord, if you have called us for the first time or for the 100th time to follow you through those waters, I pray for the brothers and sisters that refers to, that they may respond and may simply follow you. And I thank you that when you met us in those waters, when you will meet them, you, Lord, will have your way. So here we renew our vows and call upon your gracious help. Anoint us by your Spirit that we may live truly as those who are baptized into your name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, empower us by your Spirit, we pray, that we may live to your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And just to say, at home or watching or here, if God has spoken to you about baptism, please come speak to myself or Richard or one of the leadership here. We'll answer any questions you have without pressure and without doing anything other than personally exploring with you what God is saying to you. And here's a note to the church. If every Sunday between now and Easter, between now and ever, we have to have the baptismal open and we're baptizing people, hallelujah. Let's go his way rather than our way. And let's respond to our amazing Lord. Steve.
Our amazing Lord, who is indeed alive. Jesus is alive. And one of the amazing things of a baptism, certainly for myself when I was baptized, was that sense of being washed. My sins have been washed away. And that water of baptism signifies one of the things I'm sure was in Paul's essay when he was at college, was the fact it washes away our sins. Our sins are washed away in baptism. So we're going to sing the song, "The Greatest Day in History." Death is beaten. You have rescued me. What a marvelous testimony to all of us who have been baptized.
Friends, it reminded me, that collection, that offering reminded me of something which I should have said. So breathe, and here we go. If we go down the path of letting those come into church to be baptised, to make disciples, to teach, to grow, then church will not be neat and tidy. It will be messy. Our tidiness needs to go out the window for His grace and His glory. So I want to release you and say, don't worry and don't say sorry. But if you want to join with me in that prayer, we're going to use that prayer, those wonderful words of Jesus' at the end of Matthew chapter 28, as a prayer. If you put yourself in the disciples' shoes and think of how messy life would become if they took these words of Jesus to heart in prayer, as I pray we would, then things are about to get a whole lot messier. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Father God, as I reflect on those words, I pray that this church would become gloriously messy for you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Not because, Lord, we don't want to do our best, but because, Lord, you are blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. And today, as you follow the calling of your Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance, His face towards you, and give you His peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to moanhead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.